You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. With the Michigan primary closing in, Stateside is inviting the gubernatorial candidates back for one last chance to speak to you. Today, we welcome back Dr. Abdul El-Sayed. The 33-year-old is the former director of the Detroit Health Department. It's good to have you back, doctor.
Thanks for having me, Cindy. I'm really excited to be here.
And I want to start with a question that I actually asked you when you sat down here for the first time, May of 2017, which kind of made my eyes pop. It's hard to believe.
It's a long campaign.
I'll tell you. So if you win, you would be the youngest U.S. governor since Bill Clinton was elected in 1978 as governor of Arkansas, and you would be America's first Muslim governor. What do you say to voters with misgivings about either your age or your religion, particularly in a state that voted for Donald Trump?
This is about a vision for Michigan. It's about whether or not we want to do the work of taking back our politics, talking about a Michigan where we're not beholden to big corporations, and instead we together decide that we're willing to do the work of fixing basic problems, making sure every Michigander has health care, standing up to people like Betsy DeVos who have ruined our public schools, making sure that the auto insurance rates aren't so ridiculously expensive. And I believe that we should be empowered toward that kind of politics with leaders who are willing to speak truth to power and are willing to listen, to learn, and to reflect in real, in-depth policy solutions. And we've offered that. I think youth is as much a credit as anything else. It's the willingness to have the energy, have the enthusiasm, have the perspective. And I know that I, as a young person, speak for the largest generation in Michigan right now, which is the millennial generation, and about the kind of future we want to raise our kids in. And as a Muslim American and Arab American, I've always said that my responsibility is to every Michigander. And I believe that having been raised in a multicultural household where my father was an Egyptian immigrant and my stepmother who raised me, born and raised in Gratiot County, Michigan, that I bring the perspective that many in Michigan have, bringing those perspectives together and recognizing that it's important to listen, learn, and draw those similarities, bringing us back to that common humanity that we share. And so I believe that both of those things are real strengths.
Your background in public health has certainly been the foundation of your campaign. And to that point, you've recently released your energy plan, a three-part plan with the goal of what exactly?
So we know that one of the biggest challenges that we face in the state right now is that we've allowed these big corporations to pollute our air and our water. And we've got a responsibility to stand up. That means, number one, the Department of Environmental Quality, which is supposed to be the regulator that is supposed to stand up to these corporations, it needs to have both the capacity and the teeth to do that. And it's preempted from doing that right now. In the past, the DEQ used to have a budget in the hundreds of millions. Today, it's $27 million, and they don't have the means to actually do the work they need. We're proposing that we would bring together the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Environmental Quality under one Department of the Environment. We would raise their budget to nearly $1 billion, empowering them with the capacity to investigate and to regulate so that we are protected in our air and water. Second, we know that there are large corporations who get away polluting air and water because we haven't stood up and forced them to bear the cost of doing that. And we're proposing a corporate polluter fee that would force them to pay per gigaton of carbon output and emissions that pollute our air. And then that money would be returned directly to everyday folks in the form of a taxpayer stipend. This is the best way to disincentivize that kind of pollution and to empower people so that they are actually being paid the costs of the pollution that they're forced to breathe every day. And then lastly, we need to be able to invest in renewable energy infrastructure. We don't have the means of doing that. And we proposed a program called the Pure Michigan Infrastructure Bank. And what it would do is it would finance investments in renewable energy infrastructure, things like wind turbines and things like solar panels to be able to harvest renewable energy, and then also the means to store it in batteries. And then over time, we would push legislation to allow net metering or to extend net metering, which is current policy, but it is sunsetting. And net metering basically says that if you are harvesting and holding renewable energy, that you can sell that energy back into the grid. So instead of you having to pay DTE, DTE has to pay you. All of this is about pushing Michigan forward to a renewable energy future, and we're intending to get there by 2030, 100% renewable energy.
So how would you, if elected governor, work with what could be still a GOP-controlled legislature to wean Michigan off fossil fuels?
Well, look, I believe in the ability to inspire and the ability to find shared wins, and if not, the ability to make it challenging for folks to do things that are not in the best interest of all of us. The facts of our system is that we are a democracy, and the power is vested in people. And so we've got to rely on people to speak to their representatives. As an elected governor, I am just one person of many folks elected to do the people's bidding. And my appeal will be right to the people who elected legislators. And so I'm interested in traveling the state, as I have done. We've been to 125 cities across the state, and having conversations with Michiganders and their representatives about what it means to stand up for 100% renewable energy, what it means to stand up for universal health care, what it means to stand up for public schools that are high quality and well invested in. And I know that making that appeal right to Michiganders is going to be the most successful way of working with the legislature. Now, I look forward to working across the aisle with anybody who's got Michigan's best interest at heart. And I know that I can do that. I've rebuilt a health department in the poorest city in America in post-bankruptcy Detroit. And it wasn't always easy hoeing. But I do know that if you're willing to sit down with somebody and you're willing to find common ground, there's a lot more work that's there to do together if you're willing to have that humility and have that conversation. I look forward to that.
Dr. El-Sayed, you've been endorsed by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose upset defeat of New York Congressman Joseph Crowley made some big national headlines. And I know she's coming to Michigan to campaign with you. Why?
We're really excited because I think she's shown us how it's done. Our movement is about people coming together for a politics as it was supposed to be, to build a government for the people and by the people. I don't take a dime of corporate money. Instead, we're reaching out to folks that most Democrats even and Republicans have forgotten, people who they say, well, it's not worth having a conversation with them because they don't vote. Mm-hmm. The fact is they haven't had anything to vote for. And if you are honest about your message, you are willing to stand up to the corporations that have corrupted our politics, and you're willing to speak truth to power, what you'll find is that folks will come and say, you know what, I want to vote for you for the first time. Every day I walk through the state of Michigan, somebody comes up to me and says, you know what, I've never been registered to vote, and I've registered specifically to vote for you, and I hope that you'll keep on with your message. Alexandra showed us how that's done, and I'm really proud of the work that she's put in. I'm very thankful for her support, and I'm excited to share both her with the people of Michigan and the people of Michigan, more importantly, with her. I think there's a lot we can learn. And people forget sometimes that this state went for Bernie Sanders in the 2016 primary. We are a progressive state.
And so you're not worried she's perhaps too far left for some mainstream Democratic voters?
Again, this electorate went for Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary. The thing about it is that this is not just about political position. People in Michigan have lived the consequences of government that has forgotten about them. So many people in 2008 lost their jobs, and we all know somebody who lost their health care because of that. But when I talk about universal health care and I talk about single-payer Medicare for all-style health care, that is visceral for people. They understand what that means and what it would mean not to have had to go through that circumstance back in 2008. When we talk about a small business-oriented economy, and I'm talking in rural places in Michigan, they know I'm not interested in selling out to the big corporations who've up and taken their jobs and offshored them or automated those jobs away. When I'm talking about rebuilding public schools as a son of Michigan who went to Michigan public schools, they know that I care that their kid's school is meeting the best requirements that we can set for it, empowering the people who care for their kids and their schools, their teachers, and making sure that the buildings are up to code. This is basic about what government ought to be, and yet we've allowed corporations and their profit margins to corrupt our politics, taking us away from what government was always supposed to be. And we're just saying we need to take it back to that core ideal, a government for people and by people that truly does speak to the ideal that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. And if that's true, we've got a lot of work to do.
Shifting gears a bit, would you have done anything in this campaign differently?
I mean, there are a lot of things. Anybody who tells you that they did anything perfectly is failing to learn from their past. I'm somebody who always tries to learn from my past. I think there's a lot of things we did done differently. But I will tell you that the
such
core,
as what would you do differently?
I mean, I just think that that we'd have started a lot earlier in terms of the kind of outreach we wanted to do. Started our ground game a bit earlier. I think we would have maybe pivoted with news cycles in some different ways. But we learned, and we've become better because of the mistakes we made. And I think that is the mark of a true leader, is that you're always willing to ask what went well and what didn't go well and what could I have done better. And that's something that I always have made a habit of asking what didn't go well, how do I learn from that, and how do I make sure never to make the same mistake twice. And so I am thankful, though, that we have stayed true to our core and our message of a government about people, for people, by people, a government that that is not bought out by corporations, and being honest and forthright about bold solutions to challenges that we face, whether it's single-payer healthcare, whether it's 100% renewable energy, whether it's bringing down the rates on auto insurance. We have stayed true to our core, and I'm very proud of that.
Should you not win the nomination come August 7th, would you have any reservations endorsing either Gretchen Whitmer or Sri Tanadar?
If Gretchen Whitmer wins the nomination, I would gladly support her.
And Mr. Tanadar?
If Gretchen Whitmer wins the nomination, I would gladly support her. I think it's important to me that the winner of the Democratic primary is a Democrat. And I think there's very clear evidence that that Mr. Tanadar is an opportunist. And you know, whether it was giving a full contribution to an opponent of Barack Obama, whether it was voting for Rick Santorum, whether it's the fact that that he giddily took a selfie with Marco Rubio, it speaks to me of a certain opportunism in the moment, and I don't believe in that in our politics.
Dr. Abdul El-Sayed, thank you for spending time with us on Stateside.
Thanks for having me.